This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There's a rule of thumb we want to all think of, and I wish if there's one thing people tell me, what should I take from this session, is the following point, which I already mentioned last month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you something. Never will you be afraid today of tomorrow, except that Allah will save you tomorrow. Never will you be afraid in this life, except that Allah will save you in the afterlife. And never are you careless, never are you safe in this life, except that Allah will terrify the life out of you in the afterlife. So what's the motto that you noticed here? Allah will never have a human being experience two moments of terrifying matters, dunya and akhirah. And never will a human being feel comfortable in this life and the afterlife. As in feeling like whatever the false hope that is mentioned. So is that clear, inshallah? So how should the believers feel in this life towards that punishment and towards these things? How should you feel? Fearful, concerned, I don't want to be there. So that's what is being pushed in a way throughout these sessions, especially when it comes to the Day of Judgment. Sounds good, inshallah? All right, bismillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, people are all over the place, panicking. Allah allows the sun to descend. Tudna shamsu Yawm al-Qiyamah. The sun descends until it becomes 1 mile above the heads. And people start to panic. People start to sweat. And there's four categories of sweating. And the amount of sweat is equivalent to the amount of sins a person had. People will sweat up to their ankles. People will sweat up to their knees. People will sweat up to their belly button. It's pretty bad. Horrible image. Very embarrassing. How bad was it that you're sweating that it reached up to here? And some sweat all the way up to their mouth and they're drowning from their own sweat. May Allah protect us. On that day, what is it that the people are desperate for? Logical. Common sense. Shade. But there's no shade on that day because I earlier mentioned that the earth is flat. Remember that? No rocks, no trees, so we want shade. There's one source of shade, only one source, which is an area that Allah willed for people to seek shade under. And it's known as under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's throne may not be visible at that moment, Allah knows best, but there's only a group of people that can seek shade under that. May Allah make you of them. Say ameen. There's more than seven actually, not just seven, but the most famous of narration says, Sabah, seven people go under that shade. And I think it's very important for us to spend a few minutes to discuss who are these seven. Ready, inshallah? How many of the seven will you aim to have? How many? All of them, inshallah. We want all seven. We want Abu Bakr as-Siddiq mentality. What do you mean Abu Bakr as-Siddiq mentality? The mindset of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was as follows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jannah has 8 gates, paradise. One gate calls out the people who excelled in their fasting. Oh, you who excelled in your fasting, come from this gate. There's another gate, those who excelled in giving charity. Come over here. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq heard this. So he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it possible for one guy to be called from all eight? Can you be like the most athletic? Can you be can you be MVP in your high school in bowling and tennis and ping pong and soccer? Can I get MVPs in everything? So Allah said, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, it is possible, and you're one of them. Allahu Akbar. So let's be like that, inshallah. We want all seven bi'idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, number one. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Imamun adil, a just leader. And this leader can be someone from a household individual who has people, he's a guardian over to a teacher, towards students, from an imam, towards the congregation. Imamun adil. And to know if you're a very fair leader, even in your group project, because there's a group leader in it, whatever the case may be, are you willing to establish justice even walau ala anfusikum against yourself? Because people think being a leader, yeah, it's not too bad. What if the decision you will have to make is against yourself? What if you eventually have to say, you know what, I'm not sure if I'm qualified for this. Are you able to say that? Are you able to say to the person who you decided to do something, the one suggested another idea, they were right, you were wrong. Are you willing to tell them you were right and I'm wrong, I'm sorry? That's one of the key ways to know that you're a just leader. Another thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah taught us, great fair leaders are ones who will judge fairly even against the people they hate. And that's not easy. Right? We get so biased sometimes. Someone that we hate so much and something happened, you have to judge between them. Like, alhamdulillah, you came. I'm the judge now. I'll show you what you've done to me that moment and that moment. But are you able to be fair in that? May Allah grant us the best. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. The second category, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. A young man or a young woman who grew into their adulthood while holding tight to their faith. Now the question that comes, what's the limit of shab, right? Like, to what age am I of that category? What do you guys think? 27, interesting. So if you're holding tight, you have up to 27, so you can be of that category. That category is a young man or woman who grew holding tight to the religion. Some push it, yani maybe the one who pushed it was an older person, they said up to 40 years old. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But definitely, most definitely, who is included? Teenagers, inshallah. So if you're a teenager sitting here, a young person, maybe early 20s and so on, and you're holding tight to the deen, congratulations. Allahumma barik. You have been blessed, you have been honored, and Allah Himself has a category for you. Wallahi, it's something to be proud of. Next time someone makes a joke at you and says, oh my God, you're so Islamic, right? Alhamdulillah, I'm Islamic at 17 and 18 and so on and so forth, right? شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, you who had all these desires in front of you. Oh, you who was told, let's go hang out in this place. And usually all the youth go there. But you're like, you know what? It's haram. It's wrong. La, wallahi, you'll be honored. Wallahi, though they made fun of you, let's see who's happy on that Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah make us of them. Say ameen. I want you to imagine that moment. The youth are being called. Oh, you young men and women who grew holding tight into the religion. Come under the shade. And there's a young man or young woman who does not go under the shade. How bad does it feel, right? And maybe, Allah Ta'ala A'lam, maybe some of them will look at their parents. You didn't care to teach me Islam. All what you cared was making sure I have the ability to go to the best of schools. You cared over that system more than La Ilaha Illallah. You were not able to balance my life, mom and dad. You didn't care at the fact that I can't read Quran, I don't even know how to make wudu or pray, but you just made sure you get a scholarship and go to the best college in the world. And look where the real deal was. And look where I went, subhanAllah. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Maybe people have the best of both worlds. May Allah grant us the best. Say ameen. But keep that in mind. The third category out of seven, a heart that is attached to the masjid. قلب رجل قلبه معلق في المساجد. It's like, you know, you're in the masjid and you hang your heart. And then you walk away. You cannot survive for too long without coming back. The one who goes into the masjid, the believer, the masjid is like the tank filled with water and you're the fish. You leave the masjid, you want to go back to the water. You can't wait for the next salah. You're excited to go to the masjid. May Allah make us of those. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, some may say, and I tried to look it up, يعني, what about the sisters? يعني, the brothers are very much encouraged. There's a lot of push, right? How much reward do... the congregational prayer get? How much more? About 27 times more. So I want you to imagine you're being told, the people who work remotely, don't raise your hand, right? MashaAllah, great stuff, right? So let's say if you work remotely, you make $10 an hour. Then your boss calls you, listen, 2024, you want to work in the office, I will multiply your hourly wage, which is 10, I'll give you $270 an hour. What will we all do? Do hijrah to the company, inshallah, right? So imagine this is the offer of Allah, the best of examples. You wanna pray? طيب, you get 10, you get this hasana. But then you get multiplied by 27 times more had you pray in a congregation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful hadith. He had a sister, her name is Ummu Humaydin, a righteous sister. Why do I say righteous? Because the Prophet told us how. She went to the Prophet ﷺ because she knows Islam it really encourages the sisters to pray in the most private of places in the house. So she came across that. Then she went to the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbu salata ma'ak. Ya Rasulullah, but I really love praying behind you in the masjid. You're my imam. Like, I love it. So look what the Prophet ﷺ said. I love the way he responded. The first sentence, he says, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكِ تُحِبِّينَ الصَّلَاةَ مَعِي. I know that you love praying behind me, Ya Allah. Is this not an affirmation that she's a righteous lady? She loves the masjid. Her heart is attached. But he told her, وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي بَيْتِكْ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَلَاتَكِ فِي حُجْرَتِكْ. I'm going to do a little bit of building, so bear with me. Ready? He tells her, your salah in the most private place in your house is better than your salah in an open area in the house. So there's a place better than the living room. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي حُجْرَتِكْ. And your prayer inside the open space in your house, as an example, the living room or so, خَيْرٌ مِّن صَلَاتِكِ فِي دَارِكْ. Better than praying, for example, in the backyard, on the porch, etc. وَصَلَاتُكِ فِي دَارِكْ. And praying in the porch or the backyard or the front yard is better than praying in your local masjid. And praying in your local masjid is better than praying in my masjid. You see what just happened? So the closer and the more private the place of salah is, the more rewarding it becomes. While I was preparing this, I had a question. I'm not making a claim. He said, you doing that is better than praying in my... How rewarding is it to pray in the Prophet's masjid? 1,000 times more. Right? So if you ever complained about our 27, think of your 1,000. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Then what did this righteous sister do? فَأَمَرَتْ. She requested in her house. MashaAllah, I guess she was financially comfortable or so, or she had the space. She requested for a private place in her house. That's my musalla area. This is the area of my prayer. Do not mess around with it. In the most private of places, a place that kids don't run through, not everybody just sits there. She was able to do that. And the hadith says, authentic, وَكَانَتْ تُصَلِّ فِيهِ حَتَّى لَقِيَتِ اللَّهِ عَجْزَ وَجَلْ. She kept praying in that. That was her musalla area until she returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your heart can be attached to the masjid. May Allah make us of them. One last thing about the masjid. I love the masjid. May Allah make us all love the masjid more and more. Say ameen. Lovely hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا تَوَطَّنَ رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمُ الْمَسَاجِدِ. No Muslim who regularly attends the masjid, like, you know, mountain. What does mountain mean? How do you translate mountain or watan? Huh? How do you translate that? Your homeland, in a way, right? This is my homeland. Your home court advantage is in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. No one goes to the masjid frequently, illa tabashbash Allahu lah. Except that Allah feels happy, looks forward for your coming to the masjid. Look at this. Just like how the person who comes back from a long trip and the family is all waiting for that person. How excited are they? How much do they look forward to it? They cancel their meetings. They do all this to host that individual, to greet them. That's how Allah is every time you walk to the masjid. Allahu Akbar. So let that be a moment of encouragement for all of us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. All right, group number what now? Four. Yalla, bismillah. Group number four. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simplify it for us. You see someone, you hang out with someone, and you love them for how respectful they are to Allah. You love them for their love to Allah. And when you love someone so much, may Allah make us reach that level where we love Allah so much. You love Allah so much that anyone who loves Allah, you love them. Even human being-wise, we do that, right? You love someone so much. Method, an example. Forgive us for the Lions fans, yani. عظم الله أجركم. May Allah grant you rahmah and ease. So, you know, you're walking, I don't know, Kroger. You love the Lions. The Lions, Allahumma zid wa barik, ya. May Allah guide them to Jannah and everything. Then you see a guy who you do not know who he is. You don't know what city he lives in. But he wears a hoodie with the Lions logo. He's like, hey, what's up, man? This Sunday, right? And you're just best friends forever because you love the Lions and you love him for loving the lions. Allah is the best of examples. There are people, they love Allah so much. They see in the masjid, I love you, bro. Why? Because you came to the masjid. You show respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of them. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. One time, there's a great, great man. His name is Abu Idris al-Khawalani. He says, دَخَلْتُ مَسْجِدْ دِمَشْقِ. I entered the masjid of Dimashq. What masjid is that? Damascus Masjid in Syria. He says, فَإِذَا فَتَنْ شَاب. There was like a young man, بَرَّاقُ الثَّنَايَا. Very beautiful white teeth. Very cheerful. Very beautiful. وَإِذَا النَّاسُ مَعَهُ. And this man, he's surrounded by people. If they ever have a dispute, they go to this man. Whatever he says, that sounds interesting. Whatever he says, people listen and they follow. So he said, I asked the people, who is this man? Who was this man? He's one of the top four Quran reciters at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, the Prophet told us, استقرئوا القرآن من أربع. Learn Quran from four people. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ testimonial? One of these four is this man, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So they said, this is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So this man says, Abu Humayd, khalas, tomorrow morning, I will come early, a lot earlier than the salah. Hopefully, I will find him coming, and I will be the first one to say something to him. What is it? I'll tell you. He says, the next day, I went, hajjartu. I came early to the masjid. Guess what? He found them earlier than him. He thought he's coming early to receive him. He said, فَوَجَدْتُ قَدْ سَبَقَنِي. He came before me, and I saw him praying. So I waited until this great man, what's his name? Mu'adh ibn Jabal, finished his prayers. When he finished his prayers, I came from the front of him. Not to surprise from the back or tap on the shoulder, just come from the front. He saw me coming. فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Then I said, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then I told him, ready to what Abu Humayd said, ready? I told him, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحَبُّكَ لِلَّهِ. I love you for the sake of Allah. He saw someone who shows respect to Allah, talks about Islam, talks about the deen, answers people's questions, lifts people's hardships, fixes problems. I love you for the sake of Allah. So Mu'adh asked him, Allah, like, wallahi, wallahi, you love me for Allah's sake? Like no other reason? Like you have a question? Can I ask you two questions? Right? Sheikh so-and-so, I love you for the sake of Allah, but I have seven questions, inshallah. Right? Right? I love you for the sake of Allah, but can you help me out with my resume, right? There's nothing wrong with that. So Mu'adh wants to ask one question. You really love me just for the sake of Allah? Like just for the Lions jersey? Not because you saw my card and I might donate something for you? He says, Allah. He's like, for sure, yes, ya Mu'adh. Mu'adh asked him one more time, Allah, you really love me only for Allah's sake? He says, yes, wallahi. Then he grabbed, Mu'adh grabbed Abu Humayd's clothing and he brought him close. So Mu'adh said, come here. He says, Abshir, I have good news for you. What's the good news? I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Allah said, now pay attention, that Allah said, what did Allah say? Wajabat mahabbati. I will definitely love the following four categories. Yalla, bismillah. How many of the four you want to get? All four, and that's your attitude, inshallah, and my attitude. Anything we hear about this, I want the highest level in Jannah. I want all of this as much as I possibly can, within reason, of course, and as much as your capacity goes. Number one, I will definitely love al-mutahabbin fiyya, those who love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of them. Say ameen. I'm not sure if I told you guys this or not, so bear with me if you heard it, but I felt pretty bad here. It was such a bad, bad fall, subhanAllah. And what I mean is I fell in love with all of you guys for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, write a note for your wife, inshallah. All right? He's like, are you okay? I fell in love. So I love you all for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah make us of that fourth category, ya Rabbil Alameen. And please, the QR code will be up, inshallah, for donations. Anyway, listen. All right? We can try, inshallah. May Allah grant us the best. Say ameen. Group number two out of four, وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ. I love, Allah says, I definitely love those who sit together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of them. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ. And the ones that visit one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I came to visit you, check on you, how are you? No dunya, nothing. Not that it's haram, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to be confused with that. But there are people that have such relationships with others. And sometimes they actually avoid to have dunya matters to make it as pure as possible. But there's nothing wrong with having dunya matters. Last but not least, وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيَّ and those who spend from their money for my sake alone. I love you. May Allah love us. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Fantastic. Now, this is being called, oh you who love one another for the sake of Allah, come under the shade. Who's standing in regret? People that loved the wrong people. People that had the horrible friends, yes or no? That horrible friend is standing right there. And the guy is looking at him and looking at those who made it under the shade. And I could have been there, but I used to make fun of these people. I used to call them haram police. Right? I call them, okay, here comes the haram sister coming. Everything is haram, haram, haram. Used to mock and used to be sarcastic and look where she's at and look where you're at. Now you regret not having that companionship. May Allah not make us of those who regret that. Ya Rabbil Alameen. That we're not present there because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was searching in the Quran, maybe one of you can help me. No, genuinely speaking, maybe one of you can help me. I searched a little bit. I won't say I searched a lot, but I'm trying to see throughout the Day of Judgment, which is the highest of levels of regret. So many times you hear, ya laytani, you heard that before, right? I wish, I wish, I wish. Sometimes you hear in the Quran, ya waylana, right? Woe to all of us. But when it comes to having a bad friend, it's not like that. I don't know off the top of my head anything more regretful on the Day of Judgment than the one who regrets hanging out with the wrong crowd. Ajib. What's the ayah? Close, but what's before that? You are right, but what's before that? Like, brother, what are they saying? Like, you're right, you're right. I'm sorry. Zakallah khair for the advice. So what they're saying is that, oh woe to me that I have such a friend. That is true. But other ayat, woe to me, I did this, I did that. Woe to me, I never did this when I was supposed to. But when it comes to friends, before woe to me, they do something. What do they do? وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ They bite their hand. They're so angry. They're so angry, they bite their whole fist. Why? Why that level of regret, unlike almost anyone else? يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ Because I chose to hang out with this person. And why are they so much in pain? Because they had another option. Because they were invited to a better circle. They were told, attend this event. They were told, let's go to this potluck. Righteous, good people. But they chose to hang out with the others. And that is one of the most regretful moments. May Allah not make us of them. Amir Rabbil Alameen. So if you were in that position right now, no one is perfect. You saw what will happen. You heard what will take place. So avoid it from the get-go, inshallah. One of our teachers said something very nice. Ready for this? We're going to test you. Ready, inshallah? Think of your three best friends. Don't say their names. Khalas, you have an image? Okay. You're like between three and four. I know. Okay, these three people. If you're told on the Day of Judgment, you will go wherever these three will go. Are you willing to go with them? Some of you are like, yeah. Some of you are like, Wallahi, bro, I'm not sure, yani. This is the future. Answer the question. Whatever your three best friends will go in Yawm al-Qiyamah, you'll be with them. If your answer is not yes, inshallah, then it's time to adjust things. Either adjust them or adjust yourself. Right? May Allah protect you, Rabbil Alameen. A lot of unfollows tonight. I can feel it from social media. For some reason, when people unfollow someone on social media, they feel as like they filed for divorce. Like, you unfollowed me. How dare you, right? So may Allah make it easy for us. It's okay if you unfollow people. Not that, inshallah. Group number what? Five. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ امْرَأَى And a man whom a woman has invited that man to commit that which is prohibited, to have an inappropriate relationship. ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ And she was of status and she was of great looks. She's the one seducing him. But he tells her, Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah, I can't do this, it's haram. Whether they verbally said it or their actions said it, they blocked that individual. They did not accept that phone call. They tore apart that letter that they received. They did not give them a chance to proceed in their seduction. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And this also applies to the women. When a man comes and tries to play a game, may Allah protect us to commit the haram. And she says, no, inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, I pray to Allah, this also applies, Ya Rab, to social media stuff as well. As in someone inviting you to a website. How many times, especially us brothers, forgive me, I'm not sure about the sisters, but I'm sure something equivalent, 100%, we get these spam messages of people inviting you to this inappropriate website, right, on our social media. It's something customized to the men, and how filthy is that? And I'm sure something similar to the sisters of a link that is being shared to go to the haram. It's a spam. You never accepted them. It came out of nowhere. But you say, leave the group or reject that. May Allah make you of that group, Ya Rabbil Alameen, who was able to reject, because wallahi, it cannot, do not belittle how hard it can be for people, especially physically, someone trying to seduce the other individual. I shared this maybe back in 2018, of a very interesting brother, mashallah, tabarakallah. We don't praise on Allah's behalf, but his story was remarkable. Our sheikh tells us a story. He knows the brother personally. This brother, our sheikh tells us, he went to New York, the sheikh, to give a lecture. And that was his second trip. When he went to the second trip, he asked, where is that brother from Al Maghrib, from Morocco? Where is that brother? He loves him a lot, the sheikh. So they said, Sheikh, oh, that brother from Morocco, mashallah, he's a multi-millionaire right now. He's like, multi-millionaire? Like, last session, he was a miskin. He was like a multi-negative millionaire. What's his story? He said, Sheikh, his story is unbelievable. One time in New York, as he was, you know, walking, he entered into a building. He has like an appointment in one of the high-rise buildings. And once he got to this elevator, he made sure that he stands in a very respectful way. And there were other men standing and a woman who seemed to reveal much of herself. And she was very attractive, walks into the elevator. So others perhaps were staring at her, but that Muslim brother from Morocco was not. He looked away, looked down. Eventually, all these men, they left the elevator and the brother floor did not come yet. So was that lady's floor did not come yet. And then, as he wants to leave, she asked him, please, I have a quick question. Quick question, if you don't mind me asking. I know it sounds awkward, it sounds outrageous, but just let me ask you this question. Come on, the brother, God knows his heartbeat. Right? Like, waited everybody to leave. Right? So she said, I know it sounds weird, but I have one question. Why did you not look at me the way others gave me that look? Why did you actually made the, apparently, the conscious decision to look away? He said, because I'm a Muslim. And we're not supposed to look in the sense of desire. Then she said, and I always wanted a man like that. I wanted a man not to look at me just out of desires and that nature. And she said, would you be able for me to hang out with you? Like to be your boyfriend, your, my boyfriend. I'm like, I'm struggling, imagine him. Right? What did he say? For this one? Nah, I still cannot. Why? Because there's Islam, I cannot, we have to be married and so on. She's like, I'm interested in Islam. Allahu Akbar. For an elevator ride. Who's that lady? She owned an entire floor and a corporation in that building. So now, where's that brother? Maldives, mashallah, tabarakallah, right? Right? He actually got married to her, they're married. I don't know, they have kids now, what's the situation like? So that's when they told the sheikh, sheikh, that brother, Allah, mashallah, mashallah, right? Now watch all of you in the elevator. Astaghfirullah. Doesn't work like that, guys. Doesn't work like that. May Allah grant us sincerity. Say ameen. Fantastic. So this is the fifth category. We'll do 6, 7, and then inshallah, we'll take a break for Isha. What's category number 6? One who gives in charity. رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَ. But there's something about that charity. It's not a normal charity. In what sense? This group, number 6 out of 7, they gave a charity. One of their charities was so private, was so secretive that the Prophet ﷺ, to show you how secretive it was, that the left hand does not know what the right hand gave. Like that's how secret. Like no record. Not like, well, how about my wife, me and her, we're one. No, no. This charity, no. No one knows about it. No receipt left behind. Only Allah Jalla Jalalu. Nothing like, and thank you, Majid Mahmoud, $5,000. I'm like, okay, labas. Sometimes you can encourage people. Nothing wrong with it. But that charity, that group, may Allah make us all of them. Say ameen. They gave that donation, but tried to make it a little bit challenging number. right? And you know what's challenging for you. Maybe $10 for you is challenging. Some of you have thought, like, make something nice. Something nice, fi sabilillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so private to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine some people being called, oh, you who gave in charity, and a guy who was stingy all his life. I could have given something, and I could have been under that shade, but I did not think it was worth it, subhanallah. People are sweating, people are devastated, but bear the sweat of this world, because you cannot bear the sweat of akhirah. Bear the weather, bear the atmosphere, bear the temperature, bear the hijab. May Allah grant you Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Because you can bear the heat of this world, but no one can dare the heat of hellfire. Number 7. You may not be someone who is a leader. You may not be someone who is a... What's group number 2? Who was religious when they were young. Maybe some of us here, like, man, I missed that train, sah? Like, I didn't become religious until I was such and such age. I respected the age. You see that? No examples. Right? You may have not been group 3, attached to the masjid. Like, I don't have a masjid around me, okay? I live in the middle of nowhere, okay? What's number 4? I don't have any Muslims in my neighborhood to love fi sabilillah. I got no one, okay? What's 5? No one is around me to influence me to do that is haram or have an inappropriate relationship. Number 6, I'm broke. I got no money to give. Category number 7 does not need any of that. Category number 7, all of us can achieve, inshallah. Category number 7 just needs one thing, a heart. Have a heart. What kind of heart? A pure heart. Number 7, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرَجُلٌ أُرْ إِمْرَأَ And a man or a woman who remembers Allah, thinks of Allah, glorifies Allah, thinks how blessed they are. They think of their blessings. They thought of how healthy they are. They thought how sinful they were, and they felt bad for the sins, and whether blessings or pain of committing the haram that caused you, we're not done yet, tears that you cried. Can we do that, inshallah? May Allah make it easy. That you reach a point that you think of such, you're so blessed or you're so sad over something wrong that you've done, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا and you start to cry. And that is a category of people. May Allah make us of them. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. There's obviously a few more categories, inshallah, but we won't cover all of them. We covered a big chunk, alhamdulillah. But before we proceed, let's go to the musalla. Let's make it Gen X, okay? Because it's Gen Alpha, wal-ayyadu billah. May Allah protect us. All right, may Allah bless you all. We'll pray Isha. So the brothers from this door, inshallah, the sisters from that door, and I don't know what happens next, all right? Jazakumullah khair.